Derry Barry Larry Gates Jim Layton David G. Doer Off Jim Mensah Moyer Gary Ross Marlon Riggs 203698 Edward Leon Cox Jr. Marlon Riggs Donna Wren Ty Arthur Fields Daryl Harmon Scott Allen Valentine Michael Peters Chester Chislow 305905 Fella Cootie Larry Stewart Essex Hempel Gill Scott Heron Thimbian Cubain Marlon Riggs Kenneth Robinson Michael Morocco Fella Cootie Larry Stewart Essex Hempel Gill Scott Heron Thimbian Cubain Marlon Riggs Kenneth Robinson Michael Morocco Introduction to Standards V5N1 == posted at colorado.edu https://www.colorado.edu/journals/standards/v5n1/marlonintro.html Introduction to Standards V5N1 by Marlon Riggs Americans have always been more and at the same time less than what we pretended. With the quickening approach of the 21st century, greater numbers of us are giving testament to this inescapable fact, challenging the cozy myths by which America has been ritually defined. Who are we? Who are we becoming? Who and what have we been? In the next century, can we even continue to speak, could we ever? Of a collective we, for the longest, of course, these questions had simple answers. America was white. America was male. America was heterosexual. America was Christian. America, above all, was a melting pot into which diverse cultural communities gleefully descended to achieve the social and ideological transformation necessary for inclusion within the American dream. That many of us marginalized and oftentimes invisible Americans of African, Asian, Latino and Native descent, as well as women and the working poor never quite melted and metamorphosized according to this traditional prescription for social progress, hardly mattered. The great distance between the dream and our actual lives was not due to any fault in the dream, the defect was in us. The dream thus survived intact. Its seductive power sustained by America's stubborn refusal to look too closely at the hidden but terrible cost of the good life and it who actually could much less want it to afford it. The 60s, of course, spotlighted the complex oppressive regime of thought, politics and culture which underlay the myth of America. For the first time in U.S. history, the ideological fabric of white heterosexual patriarchy was exposed for the life-constricting straitjacket it had always been. Despite conservative attempts during subsequent years at repair, the old social fabric has been steadily unraveling. Thus we have arrived at this present moment, wherein a nation historically averse to serious introspection now exhibits in its politics and popular media as well as its universities an almost obsessive reflexive preoccupation with our national identity. To be expected, much of the current debate is simply a rehash of old opinion and attempt to forcefully rebut and undercut the dissentering politics of radical multiculturalism, that is, the kind of multiculturalism where difference actually makes a difference. Bring back the melting pot. Restore traditional values. Reinstitute prayer in schools. Preserve the primacy of Western civilization, the only one that matters anyway. And not least, protect that critical bedrock of American greatness, the American family. Such pronouncements reveal an intense, even pathological desire to perpetuate the thoroughly obsolete myth of America, and through this, a repressively orthodox system of sociocultural entitlement. While the ideas of conservative, fundamentalist America are hardly new, the typically strident pitch with which such ideas are now being argued betrays how acutely anxious many conservatives have come to feel. Due to both real and anticipated loss of privilege and power. What is more, arch-conservative rhetoric as should be evident to anyone watching our presidential elections for the past quarter century has found a certain public resonance. Difference, in the traditionalist outlook, has been regressively equated with disunity, and disunity with profound social chaos and collapse. Just as nature abhors a vacuum, so, it seems, do many Americans with regard to the social-political myths by which they organize and make sense of their lives. Even a fundamentally flawed, repressive, inequitable social order seems to many better than none at all. A clear imperative thus confronts American progressives that intricate, and frequently fragile, web of communities comprised of people of color, feminists, gays and lesbians, the poor and working class, as well as ethnic whites who value ethnicity, indeed all who have been systematically disenfranchised and dehumanized under the once ascendant traditional values of pre-civil rights America. It's no longer enough, if it ever was, to critique interlocking systems of oppression without offering affirming alternatives of how society should and can reconstitute itself.